If it's locally owned,
it's Copper Road.
Organically grown,
it's Copper Road.
Your heart will warm,
it's Copper Road.
Got that hometown charm,
it's Copper Road.
It's time now for Conversations with the Mayors, presented by the Chamber. 1,000 members, 4 promises, and 1 purpose for a greater Chapel Hill Carrboro. Get more info on them at carolinachamber.org. Get more on the town of Carrboro at townofcarrboro.org. And we are joined here now in the studio by the mayor of Carrboro, Lydia Lavelle. How are you?
I'm good, Aaron. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's fitting that this is the local music hour, because that song really needs to be added to the library. It's a good one.
There you go.
Yeah. So you are here a couple of hours later than usual today because you were at an event all day at the Friday Center. What was it?
Right. I was learning all day.
it's a good day.
It was a good day to learn. Every year in February, UNC has what they call the Festival of Legal Learning. And it's an all-day Friday, part-day Saturday. And you can do, both or one. I always do all-day Friday. But it was basically 8 hours worth of really, really interesting topics in various legal areas. And so I always enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Attorneys are required to have a certain number of CLEs each year. And even though I'm a professor, it's kind of a little different for me, but I still like to go and just kind of catch up on what's going on in a bunch of different areas. And you can also attend things and learn about areas of law that you wouldn't normally attend. And so it's always well received by people, and they really enjoy it. And you see a lot of people you know.
Yeah. What were some of the topics?
Well, I went to one on immigration, because I always like to learn anything I can about immigration. I went to a few about the Coastal Resources Commission, because I'm always kind of interested in what they're dealing with along the coast. One of my favorites, I went to one on evictions that are happening in Durham, and one of my former students, Jesse McCoy, he works at Duke Law School now, but he works with a program via Duke and via DSS in Durham to try to reduce evictions in Durham, and it's really successful. So he gave a really good talk about that. One of the sessions I went to that I really enjoyed was the legal struggle to integrate the law school at UNC, which I'm kind of aware of it because some of the students from Central were the ones that helped push that.
Right,
And it was about 1950, and Thurgood Marshall was one of the attorneys involved in that. That was interesting. But I think one of my favorite sessions was called The Future of the U.S. Supreme Court, and one of my very favorite people to listen to ever, Gene Nickel, was one of the speakers on that one, and it was really kind of awesome to hear him and a couple of other constitutional law professors opine about where the court's going.
What did they say?
Well, you would have really liked this. They had some real geeking out to do about the dormant commerce clause.
Yeah,
how that might come back into play.
I just talked with my students about that on Wednesday. Yeah.
Right, I knew you'd love that. but no, something that that Gene said I thought was really interesting was this observation that as we perhaps those of us that are a little more, progressive or liberal become despondent with the United States Supreme Court, that because of the now makeup of the North Carolina Supreme Court, 5-2, soon to be 6-1, that he can see, he might even see, this is going to put it very simply, he said it much more eloquently, but as the Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court, backs off and gives states their rights again, well, okay, in North Carolina, our state's rights might be positioned to be more progressive with a Supreme Court that's composed of mostly progressives. Yeah. And so I think that means that, people who want to see certain policies in place or certain laws in place, or I'm sure there's a lot of, kind of behind the scenes work going on to make sure cases where we want good outcomes are starting and going to be trickling their way through the state court system.
# partisan gerrymandering, for
right,
instance.
Well, right. So anyway, it was really, really interesting.
That's really cool.
To hear. And there was a little bit of talking about, the confirmation process for Justice Kavanaugh, and just kind of talking about what else could happen over the next couple of years with RBG, and fingers crossed on all that.
This is an event for lawyers, but how does it help you as a town official?
It's really awesome because, for instance, I teach state and local government,
right.
So some years they'll have sessions on you know, how to work with the state legislature, legal cases, and so that, like, that infiltrates really everything I do. In particular, this year, whenever there's anything about immigration law, because I know really nothing about it, I like to go just to learn a little bit, so I understand, you know, what a lot of the folks that we deal with in Carrboro, what they're dealing with. Mm-hmm.
So immigration is very much in the news today and this week because of another round of ICE raids across the state. Some in Durham, a couple hundred people are being arrested. ICE officials held a press conference earlier today, and I'm not going to say the word belligerent, but I just did. the way that they presented the situation. What can individuals do, and what can local governments do to help the immigrant communities here locally in the face of this being the federal policy?
Yeah, and you know, it's a question we ask every time these raids happen. Mm-hmm. You know, and the answers are just always the same in terms of, at the local level, we provide comfort, we provide services, if we even caught wind that, you know, ICE was in a certain area, we'd get it out immediately on social media and let folks know. It does seem like there's definitely been an extra targeting in the state in a lot of areas. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard about it locally, and our police chief hadn't, but it's horrible. Every now and then it just comes around, and you never know when it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle, townofcarrboro.org is the website for more information on town government. I had a couple of meetings earlier this week. Oh, you had one more?
Just real quick.
I meant
to say the last session I went to was called It's Not Easy Being Green, which I think is an awesome title. And then he said, or is it? You know.
Yeah.
So anyway, just talking about different strategies and actually quite a bit of it. I was like, I knew about that or I knew about that.
It's good to know that you know things.
Right. Yeah. It's good to know I know a little bit.
So a couple of meetings for town elected officials earlier this week, regularly scheduled meeting on Tuesday, and then the legislative dinner with elected officials on Wednesday. What was on the agenda there?
Yeah. So this year, we always come up with a long list of a wish list, if you will, that we give to the legislators, and we usually go over all of them in excruciating kind of detail to basically be told, yeah, it would be really nice if we could do that. But so this year we gave them that list, but we also just decided to highlight on three or four different areas for discussion. One of the most important was informing them about a budget cut that happened last year from the State Maintenance Assistant Program. It's called SMAP, S-M-A-P. And there was evidently a 26% budget cut from the SMAP program last year that greatly affected all transit programs all across the state. And it was part of, I believe, the corrections bill. And so it really kind of wasn't highlighted. Agencies kind of found out about it after the fact, and they've been kind of dealing with it throughout the year, although a lot of agencies weren't able to absorb the cuts that they had. Chapel Hill Transit was one of the affected parties. And so Damon and Bethany, who are our transit partners reps with Chapel Hill Transit, brought it to our attention, and then we brought it to the attention of our legislators who didn't know about it and wanted it to put it on their radar so that some effort could happen to have that kind of, you know, come back, because it's a maintenance, these are maintenance monies that transit systems came to rely on. And as I said, it affected transit systems across the state. And so to that end, we're also working with our executive director, Bo Mills, of the Metropolitan Mayors Coalition, to make sure that that he, as the, you know, director of all of the towns, is aware of that and can also talk to legislators about it. I'm not sure, you know, it's something that really wasn't highlighted very much, but it impacted lots of areas. In fact, you know, in some places, services had to be cut. So.
Mm-hmm. More optimistic that the agenda might get through this year?
You know, it's hard to say about, but it seems like sometimes when it's infrastructure, transportation type, non-light rail related, that it seems like it might have a chance. I mean, you think about it, if they're going to be so wary of light rail, well, then okay, help transit. You know, I mean, so that was one item we wanted to mm-hmm. highlight with them. The other, which we've highlighted before, again, flooding and stormwater assistance. We gave them some real heavy details on some of our houses and our low-lying areas that continually are affected by these, not just floods, but also just heavy rains. We talked to them about some specific problems we were having with some FEMA regulations. And anyway, they just helped us strategize about thinking about ways also to kind of work on that. Talked about like some gap funding, maybe talking to the governor about some gap funding that might help with this, with some FEMA problems. Anyway, that was a good conversation of education. We talked a little bit about if there does end up being some kind of statewide school bond or not. They weren't sure if that's going to end up making it or not. If there was, or if there was some way for schools to get infrastructure improvement, it was our hope that maybe that could help with stormwater mitigation at schools, you know. And then we also ended up kind of talking with them about webcams, about the police, the uniform cams, I guess, and whether, you know, there was any, have they hadn't heard any interest for revising those rules a little bit so that they could be a little more, so they could be shown to like councils in private so that councils could determine whether or not to have them released or not. Those efforts have been made in the past. There's a push by the larger jurisdictions in the state to try to allow that. They hadn't heard that there was any movement toward that. And I guess the last thing we kind of added on at the end, Aaron, was just brought up the matter of e-scooters, because we talked about those on Tuesday night at our board meeting, just kind of generally just introducing the subject. And we had heard that it might come up in the legislature again this year, and their thinking was, as was, because our town clerk had said last year, the only thing she had heard kind of talked about the legislature bringing up would be like a definition of what an e-scooter was. Mm-hmm. And so if that comes forward, and if that's all it is, it seems like it would still leave some autonomy at the local level to figure out whether or not to allow them and to talk through, you know, rules around your own kind of jurisdiction and so on. So anyway, we talked through that with them as well while we had them. So it was a pretty good time.
We talked about this last week that, I mean, there is local autonomy, but there can't be 100% local autonomy because Carrboro and Chapel Hill should have the same rules. Otherwise, people will have to get off and start walking at a certain point.
Yeah. So in as much as they might come up with a statewide definition of it, okay, then that just kind of sets the stage. But no, certainly one of the things we talked about at our meeting Tuesday night, and again, we were just starting to get some information about this, was in any event, we have to move forward, obviously, with Carolina and with Chapel Hill. So
speaking with Lydia Lavelle, and I want to go back really quick to the school bond question, because what I had heard and sort of tangentially following the General Assembly is that pretty much everyone on both sides of the aisle is on board with, we need a couple billion dollars for school funding. It's just, are we going to do it via a bond, or are we going to do it by pulling money from other sources? Is it going to come from somewhere, or is this going to be one of those where everyone wants it to come from a different source and nothing ever gets done?
I think my understanding was in the House, you know, it's Tim Moore, I think, advocating for the bond.
Right.
In the Senate, I think it was Harry Smith advocating for kind of a pay-as-you-go type structure, which means having to pull some money from somewhere and then kind of putting it back in as you go along. It didn't sound like, I'm not sure if it had much steam or not. Okay. Senator Fushi, I don't think initially described it very much as, she seemed like she might be a little bit skeptical about it, but any discussion about both of those was prefaced by all the legislators by the number one priority is expanding Medicaid.
Right. Oh,
and
yeah,
so,
of course.
And so that, they, in their view, that's going to dominate for a while, and since that is the number one bargaining chip or, you know, something they're all going to be hammering out, that it's almost, to think about another matter where there's kind of these two ideas floating out there, we may or may not even get to that.
Yeah.
So
we'll add to that. Governor Roy Cooper was speaking at the Durham County Chamber of Commerce annual meeting earlier today, which I happened to be at, and he gave about a 15-minute speech, and I think five of those 15 minutes were about expanding Medicaid. So and then the other 10 minutes were 11 other issues. So
it's clearly his number one issue as well.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So getting back to transportation, and we're speaking again with Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle, the town is still working on a bike plan. I know there's some developments there. So what can you tell us about
that? Well, what we're doing is we're getting ready to update our bike plan. Mm-hmm. It was passed in 2009. It's on the website. People can read it, you know, but gosh, it seems like yesterday, but it's 10 years old, you know. And so we're currently advertising for folks to serve on the steering committee for the bike plan. And then there's going to be you know, between February and June, once the committee is assembled, we're hoping to have four different steering committee meetings where they'll, you know, kind of hash out and talk through the plan, provide input to, you know, our staff on existing conditions and preliminary projects and the draft plan and, you know, how to outreach to the public and so forth. Applications are open right now, and they run through February 15th. And so I believe at our February 19th meeting, the board will making assignments, you know, appointments to that group, and then they'll start that busy work. So
anyone who wants to get involved,
yes,
get in touch with the town?
Yes, absolutely. Looking for, you know, a good group of diverse bikers. I would like to see young and old bikers and bikers from, you know, around the town, too. Not just folks that live in town, but, you know, even folks that live kind of in the northern part of town, like where I do. Be good to get a good diversity of that.
townofcarborough.org for more information. Speaking with Mayor Lydia Lavelle, I know it was a busy week. You also talked about the truth plaque, which we actually have a story running on today on WCHL about the developments there. But what can you tell us about that discussion?
Well, I haven't heard your story yet, so maybe I might repeat a little bit. But you know, it was really a good night to unveil the wording, or I should say maybe even approve it, because it was unveiled on the packet.
Right.
But to approve the wording of the plaque, insofar as it was, you know, the first Tuesday night meeting we had for Black History Month. And that was kind of cool. We had a proclamation where we recognized and honored a lot of Carborough's, you know, Black leaders that were able to be there and kind of recognize others that have passed on or weren't there. And so then we followed up with this wording that this really great, diverse group of residents came up with. And from the beginning, I think the first night that we talked about the truth plaque might have been the only night I've missed as mayor. I wasn't there that evening, but in following up on it later and hearing about it, the intent all along was to have community members get together, hash it out, figure out the wording, and come up with a recommendation for us. We did not want to wordsmith. We did not want to overrule them because, you know, this came from our community. And when all was said and done, I think the wording they came up with this plaque is pretty good. You know, it's pretty wonderful. It mirrors a lot of what I say to folks, which is, you know, Joey Carr wouldn't recognize what Carborough is today. And so, anyway, so that's going to be put on the front of Town Hall on a plaque. And then this group, I think, started telling so many stories and remembering so many events that had happened in the town as they worked on this. They asked if they could continue on with a smaller group in a capacity to kind of identify maybe where some other, you know, signs might go around town. And so they're going to continue their work.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other things that might come out of that besides just signs around town. There's a lot of things that we can do to sort of remember the town's history in a more complex way.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's going to be really interesting. We've talked about having a walking tour.
Mm-hmm.
Having a walking tour that talks about the history you don't know about, I think, would be awesome. I mentioned some coordination with some signs we already have, like there's already the Libocotton, you know, sign near the railroad tracks. Our staff is currently pursuing another plaque for over near the car wash, which was the home of one of the early African American schools in the area. And then, of course, we already have an historic plaque program. And so Damon brought up the idea that, you know, let's also kind of coordinate with that so we don't, you know, kind of have errant plaques everywhere.
Right.
But have them also be integrated all together on maybe one kind of a, you know, little walk that you can take and see all of these.
I love the idea of a walking tour, because you can just walk down Main Street or Weaver Street or Franklin Street or any kind of main drag in Chapel Hill and Carborough, and you're walking by great moments in local and state and national history, and you don't necessarily even know that you're doing it, but you're doing it.
Yeah, yeah, and it's and some of the folks who were on this committee, you know, talked about, and I don't know the specifics of it, but another member told me, talked about incidents that really people don't know about or that people have forgotten about. And so to the extent that we can, you know, honor that history that's not out there already for people to know about, I think that would be great.
Speaking with Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, I got to wrap up, but the agenda just came out for next Tuesday's meeting, 7 p.m. at Town Hall. What can you tell us about the agenda?
it's let me think here just a second, Aaron, because I had it up. Is there a certain topic on it that you wanted to ask me
about?
Well,
one of the things that I know officials are across the county are talking about ways of helping residents that have been affected by the federal government shutdown, and that is one item on the agenda.
Right. And I have it up now. Yeah. So I think that might be more also of a report of efforts that were being pulled together in case we needed it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it's just kind of now we have it in place in case, you know, God forbid, we have to have another shutdown. So I think it's kind of also more of just a report of what they were going to do. But we didn't have to go into that kind of mode. As I understand it, it's coordinated. It's a part of a countywide effort. Like mm-hmm. we're feeding into it. But anyway, that's what that report will be. And then I know we also are reviewing a couple of other things, like we're signing off on a resolution for the green track to kind of mm-hmm. get the recombination going, so then we can move forward and figure out what kind of housing we want on the green track. And then we're also kind of talking about unpaved roads, because we, especially with the flooding we've had lately, and also even just, you know, snow and things like that, but we're becoming aware of what roads we have that are unpaved, and staff has asked for asked to know what the policy is. You know, first of all, how many roads are we talking about, and what is the policy in place for roads in town that may need to be paved? And anyway, we had an inquiry, and we're checking into that.
Awesome. So. Again, townofcarborough.org for more information on that meeting and other aspects of town government. That meeting is going to be next week, Tuesday at 7 p.m. Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Aaron.